Beloved Creator, Creator of Law. Law is land, air, and water. We are over 90% water. Water is needed daily to stay hydrated and function properly. Water is our first known environment from the point of conception. We spend our first 9 months in water. Then, for millennia, we have been birthed into a time where water means commerce. It laps the shores of the banks. It has currents and currency. It has the shipping lanes where pirates stole cargo and to this day have enhanced their reference and rank to admiralty law. Their law of the sea over time has encroached and planted and placed their law on the land. Land is the earth, land and soil on which we people dwell, its denizens. It is that upon which we stand, where we grow food, build our shelters, nurture our progeny, tend our affairs, assist our neighbors, and experience the essence of our lives. We are but travelers, temporarily here to grow our soul contract. We refer to the law of the land as common law, wherein the only punishable crime is bodily harm or harm to another's property. It is dealt with simply in a community of people, without a judge, without attorneys, but with and by the people, a community of people who are the combined jury of opinion, concern, solution, and correction. Air is spirit, the divine, the heavens, the seen and unseen, the realm of our prime creator of all that is. We call in our divine beloved creator to guide us in making the best, most righteous decisions and right action. As above, so below. We are here in this abundant garden the land creator has entrusted to us. We have been given the miracle of birthing children of God's children. We as social beings are here to sing and dance and experience the joy of communion, commingling, abundance, and above all, love. Now amongst us, wanting and working toward our shared goal, the very survival of our species, we must honor plowshares to pruning hooks and find unity of purpose amongst ourselves to achieve our shared goal of true freedom. This is the Creator's law of the land, which encompasses all upon which we were born. Let it be so, and so it is.
My name's Ron Vroman. I'm the old white man talking head for the Oregon Statewide Jural Assembly. The title of this is going to be Counsel, Not Attorneys, and Law, Not Color of Law. So, when we started down this road, we didn't know where it was going. But we knew it had to go through Article 3. That'll be a message. Through Article 3, one Supreme Court claiming original jurisdiction, and Amendment 7, whose jury's verdict has no appeal in law. Now, they kind of smeared law and equity together in their de facto courts, but we don't care. We've got something that is just absolutely superb. When you read the Constitution, the only place where remedy is guaranteed between a man and the state, which of course includes women, even though you haven't gotten the right to vote yet lawfully, you'll get it. That was a joke. We have on Oregon the only known Article 3 court that will claim original jurisdiction in Amendment 7, whose verdict has no appeal in law. That's a fact. That has been filed multiple times with multiple courts and with the feds at several levels, with the state at several levels, with the counties at several levels. There is no place left untouched on Oregon that doesn't lawfully know that the Oregon Statewide Jural Assembly is lawfully Article 1, Section 1 of Oregon's Constitution. I'm going to read it. Cynthia's not here. We declare that all men, when they form a social compact, are equal in right, that all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness, and they have at all times a right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper. With full faith and credit from the Constitution, that's available in every other state. Hello, Ray. Mute your camera, would you? Thank you. So we're looking at a very unique commodity, something that is only available here, and lawfully proven many times. Signed, sealed, stamped, proof of service, witnessed, complete. So when you read about Article 3, where a man or a woman can get remedy against the state, it says that if you can, you should get as close to the place where the offense happened to have the court there. And the reason for that, of course, is that the jurors would be from the area and would be knowledgeable in the problem. But if that isn't available, then you could still use an Article 3, Amendment 7 court to find resolution. So let's take a look at why it's so hard to find an Article 3 court. And why are these folks on Oregon, in the Oregon Statewide General Assembly, the only ones that have an Article 3 court with an Amendment 7 jury? Why is that? Seems ridiculous to me. However, that's the truth. So when you look at it and you say, well, how can that be? I spent 18 months looking for that answer, and it's clear. If you key in Mukini 303 or 301, I forget which, in DuckDuckGo, it'll come up. And when you read it, they made a law saying that any court whose name began with the United States cannot by law be an Article 3 court. And then they changed all the names to be United States Federal District Court of Oregon or whatever state. They made one United States Court of International Trade, New York, New York. And it's an Article 3 court, they advertise. But they will not take a case, except if it's a foreign case. And Oregon is not foreign enough to them. I tried many ways to get in there. They will not claim original jurisdiction. And if they don't claim original jurisdiction, we can't find remedy there. So we have to scratch them off. So then we had to make our own. So we did. But we're not selfish. If you have a claim with incontrovertible evidence of something that is so egregious that you have to do something about it, contact us, www.orsja.org, or contact me, and we'll figure out a way that you can file the paperwork into our court, and we'll see if it's egregious enough and if it crosses all state lines and becomes absolutely necessary to be addressed. No frivolous stuff, no onesies. We're talking RICO here. We're talking full faith and credit, private attorney general, class action. That's what we're talking. And it's clear from what we did on Oregon. We tried them and convicted them, and they refused to address it. They run and they hide. We beat on the door of the Oregon State Police headquarters, four of us, out in the rain, beating on the door, and they refused to answer their door. They refused to even send somebody out with the mask on. Or stay 50 feet away and I'll talk to you through this microphone. No, they abandoned the field. They locked up the state house, put gates and fences around it. Won't let the people in, and they break the 14th Amendment. So we know what's going on in Oregon. And you folks on the other states, commonwealths and territories, you know what's going on in yours. And you need to assemble in a social compact and bring forth your claim with incontrovertible evidence, like we used. These folks voted against the Second Amendment, thereby they infringed the rights of every single Oregonian on Oregon and all others also. They did that. You can go count the votes. So there's nothing to discuss. There's, you know, incontrovertible evidence. They're in the legislature and they voted that way. Votes were counted. They broke their oath. Period. Move on. They're guilty. And the same thing is available through our one little court on Oregon. If you folks can't find the time and the energy to make your own, we'll help you with ours. Now, if you strangle us and inundate us with false claims, and, oh, Susie has such a hard time. Well, I'm sorry, Susie has a hard time. But if you say Tina and every other teacher that resigned because they wouldn't wear a mask or get a jab, that's doable. And we can provide you with a verdict. And we'd love to do it, because we're putting together what could be called a constitutional Congress, or a Congress assembled among all the states and commonwealths and territories. We're doing it this year. I'm beating the drum for August so we can get the job done. Return to original jurisdiction in a de jure law form and get rid of this de facto criminal element that is running the country. The industrial, military, judicial, legislative, executive, Nazi, Muslim, Catholic, Khazarian mafia, communist. There's a bunch more law form. That's what's going on. That's what we have to stop, and we've got the way. So to entice you to do your job and to do what you should be doing, look at bringing a claim with incontrovertible evidence to us at our court, our Article III court, claiming original jurisdiction. Amendment 7, whose verdict has no appeal in law. And we'll do the work. We'll help you find remedy on your state with full faith and credit. You're entitled to your inalienable rights, and they're guaranteed in our constitutions. The United States of America's Constitution, circa 1859, when we had original jurisdiction law form, and Oregon's Constitution, circa 1859, because they corrupted it and fraudulently amended Oregon's, and we have to fix that. And they did the same thing to every one of your states and territories. So, for instance, the medical industry. Why is it that the entire medical industry that is visible from the street is breaking the Fourth Amendment and breaking their oath and forcing us into a de facto law form to receive medical care? That's not due process. That's not the way due process is supposed to work. Therefore, people that stand up, they take their license away from them. And if they do it unjustly and unlawfully, that doctor now has recourse with us. We'll give him or her, if everything turns out right, there is a preponderance of evidence, and it is incontrovertible, and it does have roots in RICO, and it does have roots in class action, then there's a real way to go filing as PAG into the de facto, and we'll provide you with presentments to the de facto, and see if we can find a PAG to help you on the de facto side. And on the de jure side, the grand jury will file true bills with Article 3, Amendment 7. It's a win-win. A due process violation, 18 U.S.C. 3571, states a violation of due process is valued at $250,000 per incident. Looks pretty straightforward to me. If you're entitled to $250,000 per incident, and there's a PAG that will write the paper up for you and present the paper and do what's necessary, and it's not that hard, it ought to be worth a good fee to have that work done for you. Labor is entitled to their fee. I think that we should be going for it. In both venues, both jurisdictions. And I yield. My name's Ron Vroman. I'm the old white man talking head for the Oregon Statewide Jural Assembly. It came to my attention through a guy in Southern Oregon named Robert Kelly, who is a really brilliant man. He used to publish America's Bulletin. I don't even think it's online anymore. I haven't been able to get a hold of him in a while. But he told another guy named Dan Paul that our court, Article 3, Amendment 1, should be able to take care of a problem in Minnesota. And so DP talked to me about it, and Charlie was in on the conversation, and I don't know who all, but it evolved into a pretty good conversation. And I'm beating the drum. We're doing Oregon, and that's all we're doing. You guys got to go do whatever you got to do. And they would say, yeah, but. And the yeah, but was, we have an Article 3, Amendment 7 court up and running. And so, yeah, but they're not on Oregon. Yeah, but with full faith and credit from the Constitution, what you got on Oregon, we have in Montana and in North Dakota. And I'm looking for the yeah, but, and there isn't one. Article 3, paraphrasing, says it'd be nice if wherever the action happened, the fault where the state got up against a man or a woman and caused the man or woman to have a grievance against the state, however that happened to happen, the court that handles that is Article 3, man against the state. And they don't identify which state. So then that takes into account the de facto federal state. Yeah, that's a state. Oregon, yeah. Montana, yeah. The de jure federal, yeah. There is not a court that is superior to our court. Just isn't. That's just the way the dice rolled. We are not on the United States, Washington, District of Columbia, nor forts, ports, or needful buildings. We're on Oregon, and with full faith and credit, every state, every commonwealth, and every territory, in whatever jurisdiction they're in, whether they're federal states that were brought in under the federal Inc., like North Dakota or Arizona or New Mexico, or ones that were brought in like West Virginia and Nevada under Lincoln, another era of color law, but it doesn't make any difference. What it says is for a man to get remedy against the state, this is the court you get it in. Okay. Mukini 303, thank you. I got that from a lady. She said, look this up, and I did, and went, wow. Mukini 303 says, by law, the group that's in power in Washington during this era wrote one that said, if the name of the court begins with the United States, it cannot be an Article 3 court. So if you go into any court whose name begins with the United States, you cannot get remedy there because they won't take original jurisdiction. They won't put forth the court. They put one in New York City. The United States Court of International Trade. But you try and they say, no, you're not foreign. Well, we're not foreign enough. They won't take it from a state. So we have actually the only Article 3, Amendment 7 court going in any jurisdiction, law form, or state. Okay, didn't plan it that way, but that's the way it is. And by full faith and credit, we have to offer this. And those on any state can take advantage of it. Yep. And it's totally legally and lawfully correct. Thank you, Robert Kelly. I was thinking in another direction, and the serendipitous chain of events from Robert to me to what is really there became apparent. So the way it looks to me is a man or a woman on any land or soil that we consider the United States of America, state, commonwealth, or territory, doesn't make any difference. That body, mind, spirit, flesh, blood, soul can find remedy in our court. And the verdict of our court will be presented to all those whose job it is to enforce verdicts. Now, our court has met 5 times, and all the feds, the state, the county, all of them, were all notified, and we have proof of service, and they all acquiesced, and they all have defaulted to exactly who we are. And our provenance that we set up for that 4.5 years, serendipity, God, something. I sure as hell wasn't smart enough to figure it out that quick anyhow. So there we are. And that notification should go out right now on this video. I hope William puts it out soon. And it's pretty short, so I'll be able to drop that with some decision makers that have been saying, no, Ron, we'll wait to see if you go to jail or not, and then we'll maybe throw in with you. So thank you very much, and I yield.
They do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
And then the bullets started flying. Then he jumps out of the car. And he's got both his hands up.
And he got out of the car. And he had his hands in the air. He's like, just shoot me then. This is what you want, to shoot me. And they did. They shot him dead. With his hands in the air. And I saw it. I swear to God. He's just walking with his hands in the air. And they shot him. And they shot him dead. And then after he was down on the ground, shot him 3 more times.